Good evening, Eagle Country. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of Crunch Time, presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lawrenceburg and Harrison. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation every Monday night from 6 to 6:30. And you need to stop by and see our great sponsors, Geppers Liberty Tax, at their location in Lawrenceburg along US 50 or on Harrison Avenue in Harrison. Get $50 cash now with paid tax preparation. And if you get approved for an easy advance loan, you can get $500 up to $6,250. So that would be great if you don't want to wait on those tax returns. For more information, we can get you linked up to Geppers Liberty Tax's website over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Yes, again, thank you for joining in for Crunch Time tonight. Plenty to get to as we are awaiting the arrival of the East Central Lady Trojans girls basketball team, fresh off a sectional championship. We will catch up with them before too long, but that is going to offer me an opportunity to flap my gums about some of the big things that are going on in sports, both at the local high school level. We also got some college and pro sports that we want to talk about, so let's jump right into it. And the big thing that stood out to me over the weekend was the return of Bobby Knight to Indiana University. Coach Knight returning to Bloomington for the first time in 20 years. He was honored alongside the 1980 Big Ten Championship team there at Assembly Hall as the Hoosiers welcomed in Purdue. It was quite the scene. Of course, Assembly Hall always packed to the rafters when IU plays. That team means a lot to everybody here in the Hoosier State, or to a lot of people in the Hoosier State. So no surprise that Coach Knight got a very warm reception there at Assembly Hall. And I tell you what, this is a long overdue for Coach Knight to get back to Indiana, where he won three national championships at the time when he was dismissed from Indiana. He was the all-time leader in wins as a head coach at the Division I level. So for him to be absent from that place for 20 years was such a shame. But sometimes, you know, everybody is a person, and sometimes we let our egos or whatever it is get in the way of doing things that could be really, really special. And it's no secret that Bob Knight's health hasn't been great here in recent times, so it's probably a good thing that he and IU buried the hatchet before it was too late, because we don't know how long Coach Knight is still going to be around. I tell you what, I idolized this guy growing up, wanted to play for IU, for Coach Knight. Obviously, my talents weren't good enough to get me to that D1 level, but I will tell you this, I did get to play at Assembly Hall one time while I was a freshman at IU. Shout out to Josh Lee from Greensburg, a guy that I played a bunch of basketball against growing up. He was a team manager there, and we used to run some pickup games at Assembly Hall, which is something that I will never forget. And I'm sure the people that were in attendance on Saturday will never forget seeing Coach Knight return to Indiana. And don't forget, though, Hoosier fans, before Bob Knight was a Hoosier, he was a Buckeye, and he is going to be honored at Ohio State University with his 1960 National Championship team on March 5th versus Illinois. So that should be quite the spectacle as well. And just one more note on that IU game. I know the festivities around it with Coach Knight being there was such a big deal, but on the floor didn't go so well for the Hoosiers, as Purdue got them 74-62. Purdue was really hot from the three-point line, so it continues to be an up-and-down season for just about everybody in the Big Ten. Just saw today Michigan State dropped out of the top 25. They've been sliding, so don't worry, Hoosier fans. You're not alone in having an up-and-down season. Nobody can stay consistent winning in a very, very tough Big Ten. We'll stay in college basketball. I just want to hit on this briefly. The Duke-North Carolina game, perhaps the best rivalry in college basketball or even all of sports, and this was quite the game at Chapel Hill. North Carolina not having a good season. They're 10-13. They're going to miss the NCAA tournament unless they win the ACC tournament at the end of the season. They had Duke on the ropes. Duke, a top 10 team, should have won this game. They were up double digits at one point, but credit to Duke, they fight back and they get it into overtime and actually win the game as well on two very similar plays. I don't know that I've ever seen this. They were down two. Trey Jones was at the free throw line late in regulation. He hits it off the front of the rim. Duke's able to corral the offensive rebound, and then he hits a very, very tough contested shot to put it into overtime. Similar situation happens in overtime where Trey Jones is at the line again, misses the free throw. They get the rebound, puts up a wild shot. Nobody boxes out on the backside, and Duke gets a tip in as the time expires. to get a 98-96 win. So that was quite the scene there in Chapel Hill as Duke came away with that win. Moving away from college basketball, did anybody check out the XFL over the weekend? Yes, Vince McMahon reincarnating his XFL the first time around. Didn't really work. Tried to make it this really, really physical game, hardcore football maybe, and it just wasn't for everybody. But he's bringing the XFL back, and they got some really intriguing rules that I'm very high on. I think some of the things they're doing we might see in the college and the NFL game here before too long. One of the big things that sticks out if you watch an XFL game is kickoffs. The kicker stands by himself. Everybody else is well down the field, and nobody can move until the returner gets the ball. They're basically lined up across the field like they would for a regular play, eliminating some of those full-speed collisions and still keeping kickoffs in the game, but in a safe manner. I really like that. Also, they have a punting rule, kicking rule, where if you kick it out of bounds or into the end zone, it automatically comes out to the 35. So they're trying to incentivize teams to go for it on fourth down if they're getting close down there to score, trying to get higher point totals in the XFL. I really like the way they review replays. They actually go into the booth and show you the guy that's actually up there. Looking at the play, you can hear what he's saying. A lot of transparency with the way they review plays in the XFL. I like that a lot. So there's things that they're doing that you might see implemented in the college and NFL game before too long. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good over the weekend. So maybe check it out in the coming weeks. Moving right along, we'll go into some local high school sports. We do want to get to the wrestling regionals. Man, East Central has just been lights out on the mat this year. Dominated the field at the regional at Richmond. It's their first team regional championship since 2006. They scored a total of 193 points. Centerville was the next best team with 77 points. So East Central moving on as a team to semi-state. No surprise, they've just been fantastic all season long. Had some individual winners there at 113. Blake Wolf undefeated on the season. Ben Wolf at 145. Briar Hall, he's undefeated at 152. They also had Cole Veal win at 182. Other individual winners from some of our area schools: Garrett Condo at 106. He is from Milan. South Dearborn's Eli Otto at 126. And then you have Lawrenceburg's Andrew Roth at 160. And plenty of others moving on as well. You got Ashton Meyer from Milan, Corbin Walston from Lawrenceburg, Shane Lonneman from Milan, Jace Bohan from Lawrenceburg, JT Linkle from Batesville, Josh Mobley from Batesville, Kenneth McGill from South Dearborn, Noah Rolette from Lawrenceburg, and Jackson Goodall from South Dearborn, among those that are moving on to the semi-state in wrestling. And they do have the brackets available right now online. If you go over to trackwrestling.com, you'll be able to see where all those young men are being placed in the bracket and who might be their toughest competition at the semi-state at Newcastle. And, of course, a lot of these kids made it all the way to the state level last year. Some of them have some aspirations of actually winning the whole thing this year, and it wouldn't surprise me much if we had a couple of local kids get to that state championship and perhaps win it. That would certainly be something to see. We also have one note in girls swimming over the weekend at the sectional at Columbus North. Another East Central student athlete, Kyra Hall, setting a new school record in the 100 back, and she's going to advance on to the state competition. So congratulations to Kyra. She continues to do some great things in the pool there at East Central. Before we get to the girls basketball sectional, I do want to shout out one young man from South Dearborn who has signed his letter of intent to move on to play college football. And this is a really cool story about this young man. As he goes by the name of Brandon McGraw. He's a lineman, a senior lineman there at South Dearborn, and a three-year letterman, and he's going to play at Mount St. Joseph's. And he's had quite the journey to becoming a college football player. He started playing football when he was in kindergarten, but as a Rising Sun native, they don't have football at Rising Sun schools, so McGraw commuted to Aurora for 7 years, and then he finally transferred to South Dearborn to pursue the sport that he loves. So congratulations to moving on to college level, and I'm sure you're going to do some great things there at the Mount. You can read about that story over at EagleCountryOnline.com. And, well, as promised, we are going to get into the girls basketball sectional. Plenty to talk about there as the East Central Lady Trojans are now in the house. We're going to be with them here in just a couple of minutes. We do want to run down all the action from the girls' sectional. And we do have a couple of local teams moving on. Obviously, the Lady Trojans going to the regional, as is Jackson Dell. They got a win over Morristown in the semifinals on Friday. They went on to beat Waldron 40-36 in the Class 1A sectional championship at Waldron on Saturday. Anna Hubbard had 12 points for the Lady Eagles. Paige Ledford chipping in with 9 points. They're going to move on, and they'll take on Greenwood Christian. They come in at 21-5. That game will be played Saturday morning at Southwestern Shelbyville, so we certainly wish Jackson Dell all the luck in the world as they continue to try and move on in the state tournament. 12 straight sectionals for Jackson Dell. They've been dominant there in 1A, and of course, just a handful of years ago that they actually cut down the nets at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, winning the state championship in 2A over the weekend. The final there at Switzerland County was North Decatur and South Ripley. South Ripley was kind of a surprise team that made the finals, upset Switzerland County on Friday, but a low-scoring game. North Decatur moving on 35-29 for Lawrenceburg. They made it to the 3A sectional at South Dearborn. It was a rematch from last year, taking on a very good Greensburg team, and it was the Lady Pirates winning again 2 years in a row over Lawrenceburg, 41-29. I don't want to put too much onus on the fact that Juliana Kemper was not playing due to injury. This Lawrenceburg team still very talented without her, but if she was in there, you could maybe see it going the other way, but Lawrenceburg nonetheless still had a very good season, ending it at 21-4. Greensburg will go to the Charlestown Regional, where they'll take on Evansville Memorial. And finally, man, East Central, what a story, as they were there at the Bloomington South Sectional and able to knock out Columbus East in the final, 49-39. And quite frankly, I've talked for 10 minutes. I need a drink of water, so we're going to introduce the ladies here as Coach Kevin Moore back in the house. Thanks so much for bringing your girls down again and joining us. I know you were here just a few weeks ago.
No, we really appreciate the opportunity to come back down and talk about the, in my opinion, incredible feat that these kids put forth last week, and three trips to Bloomington and defeating three top 30 teams and being able to cut down that net, which has really been a goal of ours, not only this year, but since I've taken over 11 years now. It's kind of eluded us, and I think not only this group, but a lot of credit goes to the former players that we've had and former coaches that have also assisted to kind of get to this point, and this is certainly a group that deserved it.
Yeah, when I looked at the sectional field, I'm like, wow, that's going to be very tough for anybody to win. Yeah. A lot of good teams in that sectional, and you guys were very consistent with your score lines, 47-35, 49-37, and then 49-39. So I know you probably like to see maybe a little bit more offense there, but your team must have played really great defense to hold all three of those teams under 40.
Yeah, and as you said, the teams we played had a little bit to do with that. Just but if you look back at our last 12 to 13, games, we haven't really given up over 40 points. So that's, defense has always been our calling card, depending upon who the opponent is and what their strengths are. You know, on Tuesday we play a Martinsville team that was downhill oriented, and we played our 32 zone. It really limited what they were able to do. And then we totally transformed what we did on Friday and Saturday and played more man-to-man and actually face guarded three kids on Saturday. So we, our kids, you know, they buy into the scouting report. They believe in each other and they just play hard, and they're able to do that over the course of 5 days and beating those three teams in 13 hours on a bus is awesome. I'm really proud of them.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that travel as we go along tonight, but let's introduce the girls. I know you got a good majority of the team here. Who's going to be speaking here tonight? Is it going to be everybody, Coach, or just got a few of them going to speak?
I would say they probably voted on a few that'll speak for the group, but we can go ahead and introduce everybody if we'd like to do that.
All right, yeah, let's do that. Let's go. You can say, yeah, say what class you're in, what position you play on the team.
I'm Brylan McCrory. I'm a point guard, senior.
All right, around the horn here, ladies.
I'm Charson McCrory. I'm a junior and I'm a center.
I'm Molly Robinson, and I'm a guard and I'm a junior.
I'm Megan Cotty. I'm a senior and I'm a point guard.
I'm Avery Daniels. I'm a sophomore and I'm a center.
I'm Kyla Maxwell. I'm a junior and I'm a forward.
I'm Hope Fox, a sophomore and a guard.
I'm Josie Trable, a freshman, and I'm a forward.
All right, one more.
I'm Emma Ertl. I'm a junior, and I'm a center.
All right, so let's go back to the Martinsville game there in the first round. Let's break down these games game by game. 47-35 win. You guys did a good job of getting off to a good start, leading into halftime, and then just kind of was able to control the game from there. But one of the things that pops out to me from looking at the box score is Bryland didn't have a big scoring game there. She still impacted the game with a rebounding and getting her teammates involved. But how tough is it to win when one of your leading scorers is having a little bit of a slower game there?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at it over the course of those 3 days, we had a different leading scorer every night. Mm-hmm. And our rotation kind of dwindled in these three games. We didn't play as many kids and as many minutes off the bench. But we Brylin does a lot of setting the table for everyone else. Mm-hmm. She's done that ever since her sophomore year when she kind of took over a lot of the ball handling responsibilities. And she does what she needs to do to help this team win, and whether that be face guard, whether that be, you know, dish out seven assists. I think in that game she had 7 or 8 rebounds. You know, a lot of that goes to her. And then she had 17 or 18 on Friday night. So she hit 3 big threes, one that really broke the game open in the fourth quarter. So, you know, we don't really care. I think I can speak for the kids. They don't really care who's the leading scorer nights. I think it comes down to who has the open shots, who has the matchups in their favor, and whether that be Trable, Charson, Kyle, or Hope, you know, and then anybody off the bench. You know, if we can get a spark off the bench, like Emma Ertl, she gave us 4 points in a stretch in the second quarter on Tuesday. It was huge for us, really expanded that lead for us. So everybody plays their role, and that's what I love about this team. There's no egos. It's about we instead of me. We talk about that a lot.
And what we try to emphasize on this show, and when we do our broadcast out at games, you don't always have to be the leading scorer to be the player of the game. So, Brylin, I'll turn to you to talk a little bit more about that game against Martinsville. Is it easier for you to go out and just play, knowing that you can kind of impact the game in different ways other than just scoring?
Yeah. I wouldn't really say my main job is to score. We all pretty score the same amount of points, but when I go out on the floor, I'm not really, I'm doing this, I really try to focus on what I need to do and for the team to win. So, like I said, I don't really have a game plan. I just kind of wing it, hope for the best, do what, if I'm not being able to score, I got to pick up something else that I can work on.
Good answer there, and we'll get some of the other girls involved. Obviously, Martinsville, a very good team. They were ranked number 9 in all Class 4A. So when you guys go into a tournament setting like this, knowing that you're playing a really good team, what's the general feeling? Do you like kind of playing that underdog role? I mean, if you look at the rankings, you know, a lot of folks were probably saying, look at the Sagarin, look at the rankings, that maybe you shouldn't have won that game, but you did because you're battle tested. All those games you played earlier in the season.
Before I let these kids say that, I want to give them credit. They know the Sagarin ratings. They know the predicted score. Like, there's probably not a lot of boys teams out there that look in the John Harrell website and all the Sagarin ratings, but these kids do. I think we even have a rapper on our team that threw out John Harrell's name and a few TikToks. but I'll turn it over to Kyla Maxwell in terms of the Martinsville and going in as the underdog.
Yeah, go ahead, Kyla.
We knew going into, like, the tournament we were going to be the underdog pretty much almost every game. Mm-hmm. And going into the Martinsville game, we all like being the underdog. There's no expectation for us. We can just go out and play hard. And I think that's part of the reason, like, going into the game, we can do the things we do in there.
And I look back at your schedule, and you guys are 22-5. You won 10 straight games, but you've played a lot of really great teams throughout the season to get you to this point so that you are ready to go when you play some of these stronger teams. So kind of go back on that experience playing teams like Heritage Christian or some of the Columbus teams earlier in the season, and what do you learn from those games and how you take that into these postseason games? Charson?
How do I move this?
Very good. Just talk loud.
Okay, well, I know when we play the Heritage Christians and, like, the Indianapolis teams, that definitely helps us get ready for sectional time. So it definitely helps us, like, know what we need to work on. So.
And I would assume, too, is when you play one of those tough teams, you learn that you can compete with them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We talk about that all the time where, we could probably play more regionally 2A's, 3A's, and some 1A teams and probably have a little more success in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And we had done that early on in my career. But in the last 3 to 4 years, we've really went out and played the Mount Vernons, the Heritage Christians, as you speak of, Pike last year, two teams out of Kentucky this year that are top 15, 20 teams. And obviously the goal is to win those games, but it's also to figure out what are our deficiency areas, what is it that we need to work on so that when February rolls around, we're not in a position where we're not winning that thing again. And
yeah, I think when you're at a young age, and I played high school basketball, you just look and you say, well, we lost that game, that stinks, but there's something to be learned from those losses. I think you guys have done a good job of, picking up some of those negative things and turning them into positives. And one thing that you did was you went into the semifinals playing the host school and were able to knock them off 49-37. And a big third quarter there, outscoring them 15-3, that kind of put that game out of reach. But it's always interesting when you play someone on their home floor in sectional. It maybe doesn't feel so much like a home game for that home team, but they still have a decided advantage being in a gym they're used to. So, what was that feeling like, being able to knock off the host school there? We can kind of go around the table and hear from a couple of the girls here.
Well, and then they made a really serious run at us in the second quarter. We were up 14-7, I believe, going in the second quarter, and we battled some foul trouble and got out of our normal rotations, and it was 16-16 at half. So at halftime, I would say that they would agree that it wasn't the most pleasant halftime that we've ever had.
Sure.
And we made some alterations, and we went to our 32 zone, which really limited what they were able to do. They were getting downhill on us in that second quarter. So I'll let some of the kids jump in here and talk about what it's like playing on the floor at Bloomington South.
Yeah, and so you girls responded to that halftime speech. I'll call it a speech.
Oh, that's questionable.
Anyway, back to the original question, being able to knock off the host school in the sectional, that had to be a pretty good feeling.
Yeah. We knew what we had to do. Going in as an underdog, like everyone said, we knew that we had to come out, not take any breaks off. We came out of the third struggling a lot, kind of scary, but we all worked together, and we all really, really, really wanted this. So it's just putting everything together.
One of the things that's really standing out to me from the box score, I'm a big stats guy, but 24-30 from the free throw line, that's absolutely getting it done, ladies. Coach, you want to speak a little bit more to that?
Well, and we probably would have won a few more games in the regular season had we shot the percentage that we did last week. I think we were 24-30 on Tuesday, somewhere around 80% on Friday, and the same could be said for Saturday. We changed, I don't know how many drills we used this year to put more pressure in practice situations to hit free throws, because in practice they're hitting them at a 70 to 80% clip, but we were going into the sectional at 57% on the year. So, and I think Coach Winters even brought that up in his article after the game, where, you know, sending us to the line was kind of to their benefit, and the kids certainly stepped up and knocked them down. I mean, we were only up seven, and then they started fouling, and we only expanded the lead from there.
So can let's see, who made the most free throws here?
Hope Fox
was 7 of 8.
Yeah, she was 15 of 16 in that sectional.
Well, Hope, we're going to step up to the microphone and kind of describe the feeling being under the bright lights. Obviously an important game. It's lose or go home. Being able to step up and hit 7 out of 8, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just, like, trusted myself this whole season. I was just, like, doubting myself, and it was all mental because, like, in practice I was making them, and then when I got in the game I was just rushing it, so I really took my time and focused.
So what's your routine at the line? How many do you take, dribbles, or you just shoot
two
it?
Dribbles and a spin.
Two dribbles and a spin,
and then a little, like, bounce and then shot.
All right, that's very key. Well, you have to get that routine down, so that's very good. We could go through and do all the routines, but we have a limited amount of time here on Crunch Time. So let's move into the championship game against Columbus East. And this was a team that you played earlier in the season. You beat them by 15 points. Still beat them by 10 this time around, but it looked like it was a little bit tougher matchup. And they actually had a lead at one point in this game.
Yeah.
So maybe A little intestinal fortitude shown by your team to be able to relinquish a lead and then come back and still win the game.
Yeah, we were down. It was probably midway through the third. We were down 31-25 after being up 4 at half. And to the kids' credit, I think we had one possession where we had the ball down 6. We had the ball for 1 minute and 30 seconds. We were just very patient We were, you know, they're long. They were very long. They have three kids they had on the floor that were over 6 foot tall. So, and they play that extended 2-3 zone. And finding holes was very difficult for us at times. So we were just going through the play card, trying to figure out what set, what alignment was going to be there for us. And a lot of credit to the kids that were out on the floor, and they just continued to trust what we were calling and screened the necessary people and found themselves open and made plays. I said that in the newspaper afterwards. Our kids just made plays. And at the end of the day, you know, I could tell them to do things and try to put them in the right positions, but as players, they stepped up and made the plays happen.
Yeah, it's not always easy to score, you know, close to 20 points in a quarter in high school basketball, and you guys were able to outscore East 19-8 in the fourth quarter. So, girls, talk a little bit about the situation, being down. You're going into the fourth quarter, and, you know, we got some seniors on the team, so... Mm-hmm. It's do or die time, but being able to make the plays and score a lot in that fourth quarter in the most crucial minutes of your season, what was that like, Josie?
I think just, you know, being down, we all just kind of knew how important this was for our seniors and all the time that we've put in all season long. You know, that's why we play such a tough schedule, is to get to this point. Knowing that sectional, we just kind of rallied around each other and got the win.
All right, and the next thing I want to ask is just how it feels to be sectional champion. I played varsity basketball for 3 years in high school and never got to cut down a net in my life. So that's obviously got to be something that was really cool.
Jump in there, Mac.
This was super special for me as a senior. I watched my sister try and cut down a net for 4 years before me, and then me and Bri have been trying to do it the last 4 years. And to get it done our final year on the team's court that knocked us out last year was really special.
Yeah. Okay, a little revenge there. I know we don't talk about that a lot at the high school level, but you certainly remember certain games that you lose, and that can make you play so much harder the next time you get a shot at them. Was that something that you guys experienced there on Saturday night? Anybody want to allude a little bit more to that?
Revenge factor.
All right, go ahead, Brylan.
So,
we got to think up some answers here. Give them a break.
Okay, so my sophomore year, we actually played Columbus East at home.
Mm-hmm.
I had, yeah, championship, so I was right there again.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to send us into overtime. I missed the free throw. So, like, that really, really hurt. And so when we played Columbus East my senior year, I was hungry. I knew what I wanted. I think we all really worked together hard, and we got what we wanted. So
that's pretty awesome, Kyla.
Before we played, he showed us we watched the game from last year when we played Bloomington South, and he said it was because he wanted to see like how they guarded us. But we all know it was for a little motivation. And watching it was really hard. Like, we played bad, and we were still in the game, went into overtime. And I think watching that game also gave us a lot of, like, hype going in, that we knew we could beat them. We just needed to do the things we couldn't do last time.
I think that's awesome. And there's a quote from Dwayne Wade. He says, get knocked down 7 times, get up 8. That's a good mantra, and I think you guys have some of that there in St. Leon. So let's move on to the regional. It'll be a Saturday 10 a.m. game. You're taking on Franklin Central. 15-11 on the season. So what do we know so far about Franklin Central, Coach?
Yeah, so they were, I want to say, 2-20 last year. So for them to turn it around, and I know Vince very well, the coach up there, this is his second year. They've got a kid, Rachel Luby. She's a Miss Basketball candidate, averages around 21 a game, going to Central Michigan next year. That was no lies about it. They upset Center Grove. I mean, mm-hmm. we were talking before we won our sectional that we were probably going to have our hands full of Center Grove, and come to find out Franklin Central beats them on their floor. So we certainly can't take them lightly. I mean, you look at the Sagarin ratings, you look at the prediction, and we're a favorite, which isn't something we're used to in these kind of situations, and quite frankly, not something that I like. I like to, mm-hmm. as you said, play that underdog role. And when you look at our size, our enrollment, we're at 1,200. They have 2,800 kids. I mean, of the 16 teams left in 4A, we're the second smallest, with Northwestern being the smallest, and they're only up because of the success factor at 3A level. So to me, we can't go into that game, you know, looking ahead to play either Bedford or Evansville North, because they're long, they're athletic, they do a lot of different things defensively. So we got a chance to watch some film today. They don't play a lot of kids, but they're long, and they, like I said, they change things up. They go from 1-3-1 to man a lot. So our kids will be ready. I know they're going to play hard, but we certainly have our hands full.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned already that you guys do look at the Sagarin and stuff, and yes, on the statistics and on paper, you're the favorite to win the game. So how do you kind of get around that mindset that you should just win because of what the stats say? You actually have to go out there and play and win the game. So how are we getting around that kind of mindset, ladies?
I know our team, we always play hard no matter what the challenge or who it is. We always go out and play hard and do our jobs as a team.
Follow the report.
And trust me, I don't want to get too far ahead with any potential second game. I know you guys have seen Bedford North Lawrence, so that might help in terms of preparation if you get to that regional final. But that's kind of exciting just thinking about playing one game and then immediately jumping into the second one. It's kind of what we do best versus what you do best, and maybe not relying so much on a scouting report.
Well, and then the fact that, you know, if we do play Bedford, we have a solid base of what we need to do against them. Mm-hmm. You know, we've won 17 of our last 18 games, and they're the one team that's beat us along the way. And I think it ended up 55-50, but we had the lead in the fourth quarter and relinquished that. So I know we're there. We got to certainly play a little bit better defensively. We gave up 60 in that game. But if we're fortunate enough to get there and they get by Evansville North, as you said, being able to play right away, I think benefits us because our kids have that mindset that they know they can defeat that team.
All right, we are getting down to the end of the program. This 30 minutes does go fast. I only want to ask one lightning round question tonight for you ladies, and that is, what would it mean to you to win a regional championship?
For me, it's my last year. I have nothing else to lose. So it would be absolutely insane because actually, like, we've like accomplished so much as a team, broke many records already. So it's just the icing on the cake, really.
All right. Let's get a couple more. Same question. What would it mean to you to win the regional, Kyla?
Today we were watching film and someone walked in and he said that if we were to win a regional, we'd be the first team out of girls and boys to win 100 years. And I didn't realize that. And I think that's what kind of I think about now, how big of a deal that would be.
A little history on the line. Anybody else want to add something in?
As a sophomore, winning a regional would just show like how, like, in the next few years, it's just going to keep going and going from here.
A lot of talent on the team coming back. That's a good point. Anybody else want to chime in before we sign off here tonight? Megan?
To repeat what Brylan said, as a senior, that would just mean everything because this is my last opportunity I have to play basketball, and it would just be so special to do it with this group because this is the most fun I've had in a season.
All right, and Coach, I guess we'll let you finish that off. What would it mean to you personally to win a regional?
No, it would mean the most for me in terms of my career. You know, that's why I coach. Coaching to win regular season games is not why I'm here. It would be, you know, very, very special. As Megan said, this is the most fun I've had coaching a group of kids. There's no egos. There's no cliques. They all really, really get along well. And even the days they don't let it linger the next day. You know what I mean? So that's why it's special to me. And I think we're very capable of doing it. And I want to give my assistant coaches a lot of credit. They've put in a ton of time with me. And there's a lot of devoted kids and their families to this program.
All right. So Columbus North, 10 a.m. Saturday against Franklin Central. We know it's early, but Trojan fans, get out there and support these ladies. Where can folks get tickets for this game?
Coach Stonefield and I were at a regional meeting today. We have tickets in the athletic office. You can buy them throughout the day, all day. And then also at Thursday's home boys game, we'll have a ticket booth set up where they can buy tickets ahead of time. It's $10 for the session or $8 for an individual ticket. And I'm just encouraging everybody to buy that $10 ticket.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to add, Coach?
No, just I appreciate you letting us come over here and speak about our program. And someone said, I think it was Avery, we're just scratching the surface. I think we have the capability of doing this not only this year, but for years to come.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by. We love to catch up with all of our local teams, and especially the ones that are doing some really special things. So, ladies, good luck on Saturday. Bring home that regional championship, and you can keep coming back and seeing us. That's if you'd right. love to.
Thank you.
All right, this has been another edition of Crunch Time, presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lawrenceburg and Harrison. See them this tax season, and get out and support the Lady Trojans this Saturday as they chase a regional championship. It's Eagle Country 99.3.